Well, the Park City Board of Education meets in regular session tomorrow starting at 4 o'clock at the school district office on Kearns Boulevard. On the phone, I have Park City School District spokeswoman Melinda Colton filling in for interim superintendent Dave Gomez. Melinda, hey, thank you for filling in here last minute. Everything okay?
Yes, he has a son stuck on I-15, and so he had to go pick him up and get him a new tire. So you're stuck with me.
Oh, well, let's see. The school board tomorrow is scheduled to approve the business administrator's contract. This will be a raise for Todd Halber. Can you tell us the terms of the contract?
I don't have those yet. I do know that our typical protocol is that he has an annual review, and if favorable, which of course we hope is favorable, the board then enters into this new two-year contract with him. So I have not seen that yet.
Okay, but it is for 2 years.
Correct, yes.
School board also scheduled to approve the agreement with our licensed professionals. Again, those are the teachers, basically. Was any negotiating required here, or was this part of the multi-year contract?
It was part of the multi-year contract. Last spring, they entered into this agreement, and this agreement is good through June 2020. And we continue, Leslie, to be the highest-paying district in the state of Utah with starting pay for our new teachers at $50,000.
Yeah. Any new hires that you can announce?
None yet. No, we are anxious to get our new superintendent here. I believe they're getting close back in Connecticut to replacing her with an interim superintendent. She wants to make sure that transition is going smooth and wants to get out here just as soon as she can.
All right, but has to be here by August 1, according to the terms
correct.
Of her contract?
That's correct, yes.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about her contract. My understanding is that it's the pay a lot higher than the Utah average for a superintendent. I mean, have we built combat pay into this contract?
That's a great question. I don't know the specific terms of it. I do believe it's more. The board was really dedicated to getting the most qualified candidate they could. And the committee that helped us narrow that selection down, that was one of their resounding things, too, is let's make sure we get someone that's seasoned, which is going to cost more, someone that has done this before, someone that's worked with, you know, a community that has clearly high expectations. And so all of those things were important, and the board wanted to make sure that they could get the best candidate, even if that meant we needed to pay her more.
All right, let's see. At 4:15, the Board of Education is scheduled to select a preferred option for the tunnel between Park City High School mm-hmm. and the seminary. What are the choices?
I just was looking at those last night. They're all about the same. For those that aren't aware of it, this is going to be a proposed pedestrian bike tunnel that the city's going to do. So it goes under SR 248 at the intersection of Comstock Drive and then onto the high school campus, which is going to provide for a lot higher level of safety and connectivity for our students, as well as the community. Anybody who's been on Kearns Boulevard knows how intense that kind of traffic is there. So there are three options posted, a 1A and a B, and then a third one. And those are actually on board docs if people want to look at those. It's kind of hard for me to describe them.
And in terms of who's paying for it, is it going to be a three-way split between the school district, the city, and the LDS Church?
I'm not sure. I don't have those details. See, that's the problem with getting me and not the interim superintendent.
And it is scheduled for construction when? This summer?
I think as soon as we can get an agreement established and this, you know, MOU between us and the city and get going on that, because that is not going to become any less hectic.
The resignations policy is also scheduled for adoption. Is this still intact? That the school district will pay some sort of bounty for those who would announce their resignations early?
Correct. Right now it's $500, but we've inserted two new options that gives us a jump start on hiring for that coming school year. So if they notify us, whether it's a resignation or retirement, so both of those qualify. If we know by January 1, it's a $1,000 bonus. If it's February 1st, it's 750. And we've never really had that before, and we hope that that gets people thinking a little bit sooner about if they are going to leave so that we can get a jump start on getting the best people hired.
Yeah, but I wonder if this solves the problem of what we saw years ago when a teacher, basically he valued his time off rather than the money. He knew he was going to resign at the end of the school year, and basically he took a sick day every Friday, which cost the school district a lot more than the $500, or even in this case, $1,000 if they were to announce early.
Well, and we hope, I think the majority of our teachers, Leslie, to be honest, are going to be there in the classroom. I hope that that's the exception to the rule. And this will be a great year as the board approves this tomorrow and us going forward and seeing how it works this next year. If not, then we come back to policy and make some different adjustments or add some stricter language so that those kinds of situations don't happen.
Okay, the budget decision is scheduled to happen at 6 o'clock. There's a revised fiscal year 18 budget adoption and then the fiscal year 19 preliminary budget.
Correct.
In terms of tax rates, we're talking about money, almost a $6 million tax increase?
Correct, $5.6 million, yes.
Okay, and this comes on top of a $3 million tax increase last year, right?
I believe we haven't had a tax increase since 2015.
Okay.
That's what the business administrator told me. And so what this does is it continues. We're looking at per $100,000 market value of a home, we're looking at a $23 increase. And then if you have a second home or a commercial business, that tax increase not quite doubles, but it's $42 per $100,000 of market value.
All right. Student growth, we should know, next school year projected to be less than 1%, and yet we're adding so many positions. Why?
Well, a lot of it is just to continue to have and meet the demands that we have right now. So when you look at the personnel breakdown, we need more teachers. We need more special ed teachers. In fact, this is a great time for people to be going into special education. We're trying to get those as fast as we can, and there's just not a lot of people going into it anymore. Then the other thing that we've added, as you notice, is the secondary assistant principals that will help with all of the continued requirements we're getting from the state, from the legislature, and then every school will get an additional interventionist who can help with those struggling students. We really need to meet their needs.
When is the Truth and Taxation hearing scheduled?
Sometime in August. I don't have an exact date on that right now, but tomorrow night at 6 p.m., before the board votes on this budget, that's the chance for people to, they can look at it on board docs, which they can get to through the school board section of the website, go through it if they have any comments or concerns. The board takes public comment before they vote on it, and so that's a great time to come talk before they vote, and then I will make sure I get you the information on what the exact date. It's mid-August sometime.
Okay. Let's see. Where are we with regard to the students who were charged with sexual assault? I understand that there's not much you can say because it's an ongoing investigation and lawsuit, but yet we spend so much time and money talking about school safety. And I just, you know, it's in terms of the safety of kids in weight rooms, why isn't the district saying where this happened?
Well, because there's FERPA and you've got privacy issues, so our job is to not only protect the victim of this incident, but also the students that were involved. We did consider this incident a safe schools violation, and we followed protocol and discipline like we were supposed to, and now it's a police matter. Actually, the Summit County attorney is the one that's handling it right now. And so I don't know where we are on that, but it's something that we took very seriously and continue to take seriously. Our schools and our facilities have to be places where students feel safe, whether it's in a classroom or if it's in a weight room or if it's outside on the football field, wherever.
Yeah, those charged, however, are no longer students, though. I mean, they're graduates.
Correct.
So why do we need to protect them?
Because it happened while they were our students. It happened on May the 2nd. So they were our students when that happened. And as far as additional information, the attorney may be willing to provide you with that information. I'm not sure.
Yeah. These kids, these students or athletes playing on school teams. Can you talk to me about the school policy for students who are alleged of a crime? And I mean, so it's okay. I mean, to have this ongoing, we know that it happened May 2nd. Mm-hmm. And yet students going on and playing in the state championships for lacrosse.
I'm not aware that that's the sport that they are involved in. Again, I can't disclose any of those kinds of things right now.
Well, we do know that at least one of them mm-hmm. plays lacrosse and went on to play in the state final. So does the school district have any kind of school policy for
lacrosse? Let's see. Right now, I believe is not a sanctioned high school athletic sport, so it's not under the guise of the schools right now. It will be, I believe, next year. Utah High School Activities Association is going to make that a sanctioned sport. So again, that would be something that may be outside of our purview if that indeed is what happened.
Now, by contrast, we have an eighth grade English teacher on suspension because of a rap song used to demonstrate bias, clearly part of the real world discourse yet now. Yet
yes.
Here we've got three kids assaulting another kid and yet the teacher for trying to teach a lesson, you know, on suspension. Do we have an outcome on that yet?
We do not. Still looking into it. And that will be resolved, though, by the start of the school year. It's been a busy last couple weeks of school, wasn't it?
It sure was. Yeah. Does the community have a right to know, though, what the role of the school administration is with regard to the alleged assault?
Well, federal law prohibits us from saying so many things. There are things I wish I could say because I think the public might understand each situation a little better, but I'm prohibited from sharing that information. For privacy issues related to these kids when they were students, and then also the teacher because of personnel policies and protecting her as well. So I wish we could say more, but we have lots of laws and state codes that prohibit us from sharing that until the outcomes are decided.
Okay. Again, I think the big news is that a proposed $5.8 million tax increase is being proposed.
Yep.
If people have anything to say about it, they should show up tomorrow. Again, that public hearing scheduled for right at 6 o'clock?
Or 6 o'clock, uh-huh.
Okay.
Correct.
Anything else you need to add, Melinda?
No, it's just, I shouldn't say no, I should say yes. It's our busiest time of the year right now. Our facilities folks are, in 3 months, they've got about $3 million worth of repairs, renovations, facility improvements that they'll be making. And that doesn't include the safety things that we're doing. That's just keeping our buildings looking nice and getting them ready for students to return again in August.
All right, Melinda, thanks for your time and filling
in. Thanks, Leslie.
It's Melinda Colton, Park City School District Communications Director. Well, despite a lackluster snow year, Utah ski areas posted their sixth best season in terms of skier visits. Those numbers were released just minutes ago. In the studio with details, I have Ski Utah President Nathan Rafferty. Good morning.
Morning.
So surprised to see that we, you know, we're in the top 10 here?
You know, not totally. Our resorts have gotten so good at producing a product that is really fun to ski and ride on. You know, of course, we would have loved to see those numbers a little bit better, the highlight being the economic numbers being the second best economic impact in the state's history. So even though we were down a little bit, you know, those economic numbers were really strong.
Yeah. So do you attribute the numbers to the Epic Pass? People are got their pass, are going to come ski anyway?
You know, it's certainly part of it. Absolutely a big deal. You know, we're seeing since that Epic Pass landed here in Park City, definitely people that have not been to Utah before. Once they come here and they see how easy it is to get to the from the airport up here, and, you know, the airport is going to be all new in the next couple of years as well. So, you know, things are going in the right direction.
Yeah. And then what do you expect with the Icon Pass in town next ski season?
You know, I think more of the same. So, again, introducing people that maybe have skied in Colorado or California and haven't been to Utah for whatever reason, and they get here and love it.
Yeah. In terms of the snowfall, you had actually talked with Brian McInerney with National Weather Service. How bad was the ski season in terms of snowfall?
You know, it was... it was a really pretty low number, about 60% of average when we look at the numbers statewide. And then adding to that, the numbers down in Salt Lake City, the temperature was a little bit warmer. And, you know, when people aren't shoveling snow off their driveway down in the city, that really impacts our local numbers as well. But like I said earlier, the ski resorts and the snowmaking teams and grooming did such a fantastic job of turning things around and providing this incredible product to ski and ride on. And, you know, and I experienced this too, you know, a little lack of motivation to go skiing, but everybody I talked to that did get up skiing said, oh my gosh, it was so much better than I thought it was going to be. And, you know, I think that really speaks to the resorts and their investment in the snowmaking.
Yeah. So when you talk about economic impact, I mean, still to come in at the second best ever, what, $1.3 billion compared to last year's $1.4 billion?
Yeah. So last year was an all-time record. And yeah, a $1.32 billion. What we did see were the numbers bump up the daily per spend from out-of-state skiers, bump up from $309 last year to $337 this year. So, you know, I think we saw people, they definitely came and they skied, but they spent a lot of time doing other things. And Park City really shines in that area where people can bounce around on Main Street, spend time in restaurants, galleries, bars. There's so many things to do outside of skiing here. And we forget as locals too, there's so much more to a ski vacation than skiing. And certainly, you know, skiing leads the way, but a town like Park City is so diverse in our offerings, and we forget that people are not at work. They're with their families. They're in a beautiful mountain location, and you know, while snow is important, it's not the only thing.
Yeah, and then when you look at the state's economy overall, I mean, where does the ski industry fall in that?
You know, in terms of we are a huge part of the state's economy. Tourism in general is over $8 billion for our state, largest export in the state of Utah. And by a wide margin, skiing, the per day spend, if you had to pick one tourist to come to Utah, the skier is what you'd want to have, with that spending well over $300 a day.
Yeah. What's bigger?
In terms of
just the state's economy,
industry,
agriculture,
You know, agriculture, education, the tech industry is really growing as well. But in terms of exports, you know, we surpassed the extractive industry a couple of years ago and, you know, heading in the right direction.
All right. Well, when you, you know, as the president of the Ski Utah, I mean, what's your goal for Utah's skier days? I mean, we're above the 4 million.
Sure.
Mark.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I think there's a lot of room to grow midweek, get people to spread out a little bit. Those busy weekends, we all know, are really, really busy. But boy, there are times in early January where there's hardly anybody around and midweek times. So, you know, we've got some room to spread things out too. And we know things are here and busy in Park City, but, you know, they're not busy at all our resorts. We got 14 resorts that certainly could see some growth as well.
Yeah. Is part of that just the airlines? Because flights Monday or Friday are still pretty, you know, upper end.
Yeah, you know, that's one thing we do struggle with here is the price of flights coming into Salt Lake City versus some of our competitive destinations, especially Denver. You know, we have, you know, this incredible resource as a hub here with Delta and going to be a new airport. All new by 2020, but pricing continues to be a challenge, especially against our competition. And when, you know, when a family of five is looking to take a ski vacation, you know, the first thing they look at are those airline prices. So we need to work with our airline partners to become more competitive.
Yeah. So again, when you talk about filling in that midweek, I mean, what are we looking for? 6 million, you know, a year, 8 million?
Sure. Yeah. You know, absolutely. You know, again, you know, the central Wasatch here, let's say Park City, Deer Valley, Snowbird, Alta, Solitude, Brighton. Those are some busy resorts. Again, weekdays, they're not nearly as busy. But, you know, that circle doesn't have to get much bigger. And you find some places that can certainly take on more capacity. Snow Basin, Powder Mountain, Sundance even, you know, those ski areas certainly can use a little bit more business.
And certainly Colorado has been our number one competitor. I mean, what are they, what do their resorts do every year?
They're doing over 12 million visits, but it's really not an apples-to-apples comparison. They've got almost 30 ski areas to our 14, and several of theirs are so big. I think they have six ski areas that do over a million skier visits. We have not as many.
Yeah. When you look at Colorado and you see the pictures of the lift lines and the traffic jams on those
yep.
Front Range ski resorts, I mean, that's nothing we want, is it?
Depends on which side you're sitting on, I suppose. Like I said, I think there's room to be more efficient. And as the city and state works on traffic issues, that's where we feel the pinch for sure. But, you know, there are ways to make that tourism experience more efficient and getting people in and out. I don't know when the last time you skied outside of the state, but boy, a lot of these places are so much busier than we are here, and we've been not as busy for so long. I think that's what makes the difference.
Yeah. So in terms of the off season for you guys, what do you spend this time doing?
Man, we're cranking, and the summer goes so fast for us. We produce a magazine, overhaul our website, and all our planning for the fall stuff. I mean, we've got our PR folks go on the road in just 2 weeks, and we're talking about the 18-19 ski season already, and then we'll have a full slate of events in the fall, and snow's going to be falling before we know it.
Yeah, in terms of how much money you have to market? The ski industry, what are you looking at?
Yeah, from the state perspective, we are at an all-time high of $24 million, which is just incredible. So that our state legislature, we have worked, the ski industry and, the Red Rock folks as well, have all worked together and have really done a great job of convincing our state legislators that tourism is an export that Utah should be investing in. And they have seen that light and have given us an all-time high of $24 million. And that's, when I say us, that's the Utah Office of Tourism. And they do a really great job of getting people interested in our state, whether it's national parks or skiing or everything in between.
Yeah. Okay. Anything else you wanted to mention about the about the numbers?
I guess I'd just say we're really excited about the path we're on and heading in the right direction with a little help from Mother Nature. We'd love to see us blow past last year's all-time record. Last year or the year before was so much fun. We had so much snow. Wipe the slate clean and 18-19 is an all-new year.
Yeah. Real quick, wanted to mention, though, the nice article in the Salt Lake Tribune.
Oh,
kind
thanks.
Of your other passion.
Yep.
Riding motorcycles
yeah.
in the sand.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's a ton of fun, and it was fun to see that piece.
Yeah, that total extremes from the cold to the very hot.
Yeah, it is. It is for sure, but, everybody's got to have a passion, and that's one of mine for sure.
Yeah, so you going back again?
Probably not to Africa, but I think I just recently committed to going down to South America and doing the Dakar rally there in January, so a similar event. Different venue, but more sand as well. So Peru's down in Peru, so big sand dunes down there.
And December is like the middle of summer there too. So hot?
Yeah, it can be, but I guess it's on their sand is on the side of the water, so it's a little bit cooler than Argentina, I guess, and some of the places that get really, really hot. I'm not super familiar with it, but should be a fun challenge.
All right. Again, these are like how long of and how many miles?
Yeah, the one I did was 4,000 miles in 12 days. And this one, they haven't announced the route, but imagine similar, if not a little bit longer. And I think this one is, I can't remember, 10 or 12 days, but either way, it's a long haul.
Yeah, and so it's you just need to drive to a camp so that you've got a place to sleep and eat?
Yeah, it's kind of like a little bit like the Tour de France where the bivouac, they call it, moves every night. And this is the event I'll be going to is a much larger event. The one I was from was 500 people in camp every night, and this one should be thousands of people every night. So it's this big moving circus and lots of excitement and high adventure.
Okay. Be careful. Thanks.
Thank you.
That's Nathan Rafferty, president of Ski Utah. You're listening to the Local News Hour on KPCW. It's 8:41. Well, the Utah Symphony, Utah Opera partnering with Arts Pianos for All, as well as the Park City Summit County Arts Council and the Summit County Arts Boards to produce some free pop-up community concerts. In the studio with details, I have Jocelyn Scudder from the Arts Council, along with Renee Huang with the Utah Symphony Opera. Good morning, ladies.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So we've got three dates coming up in like the next 10 days. It goes through till next week, yeah?
Yes.
You want to just tell us about the three dates?
So this Wednesday, Thursday, and next Tuesday, we are partnering with Arts Piano for All, the Summit County Public Art Advisory Board, and PCSC Arts Council, and we will actually have an opera and a symphony presence on those pianos at very unexpected locations. So we're excited for everyone to come out and hear these 30-minute performances.
Okay, so what are we going to hear?
So the first two, you're actually going to hear a Utah Opera resident artist duo. So they are these two who go into the schools during the school year and sing opera mashups for all the school kids around Utah. Robert Bosworth is the pianist, and bass baritone Jesus Murillo is the vocalist. So you'll hear everything from popular show tunes and arias to Robert will do a couple solos on the piano.
Okay.
And then next week, next Tuesday, one of our violinists, Lynn Rosen, will actually be performing along with Jed Moss, who is a local pianist down in Salt Lake.
All right. Now, are these, they're not Steinways, what they're used to playing, Jocelyn?
They are not, in fact. Although we have just had the pianos tuned, which is, you know, we're working on it. So Art Pianos for All is a local nonprofit group seeking to bring back, pianos as the centerpiece of music and community and art and fun in Summit County. So this was really a perfect partnership opportunity. The Public Art Advisory Board in the county does manage this program with Mark Maziarz, who actually kind of started this program. So we received some funding from the Utah Division of Arts and Museums, and we said, let's program these babies. So there are four locations out in the county where there are pianos. We only programmed three. There's one in the Aquatic Center where the acoustics actually aren't great. So we're hosting one at the Kimball Junction Transit Center, which is the Wednesday performance, June 20th from 5:30 to 6:30. And then on Thursday, June 21st from 5:30 to 6:30 as well, there's going to be an outdoor performance at the Summit County Library in Kimball Junction. And then the Tuesday performance on June 26th from 12 to 12:30, so we kind of targeted a lunch hour. We're going to bring the Art Piano outside at the Colville City Hall. That's one of the locations, and so we thought that would be fun to bring it out outside so city staffers and local residents can drive by, sit down, have a picnic. So I think it's going to be really fun.
Yeah, and why is this something that the Symphony and Opera wanted to do? Just showcase what you guys are about?
Yeah, well, actually, it's the 15th anniversary of the Deer Valley Music Festival up here in Park City, Summit County. And so that is the summer residency for the Utah Symphony, which is actually only one of 15 full-time orchestras in the nation. So we really wanted to have a way to give back to the community, say thank you for being our home away from home for the past 15-plus years, and collaborate with a bunch of other community organizations. So this is just the first of several collaborations. We have smaller ensembles in unexpected locations. People can go to our website, deervalleymusicfestival.org, and look at community events to see almost a dozen different pop-ups that we're doing. We're coupling with Mountain Town Music and Park Silly Sunday Market. And so we'll be in and around and out and about town and in some of the galleries as well.
Yeah. And opera, I mean, is it a... It takes, I guess, just a different taste. I mean, are you seeing the numbers, though, for that sustain itself?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, this past year was our 40th anniversary for Utah Opera, and we had amazing performances. We had our first, we built the sets and the costumes for Moby Dick, which is a contemporary opera. And so that was the reimagined of a huge, huge set that was debuted back in 2010 when the opera first hit the stage. So we're seeing a lot of... momentum going into the future of opera as it becomes more theatrical and people are just drawn to it as an art form and not as intimidated.
Mm-hmm. And the symphony, of course, very popular, and especially when you do kind of the pop shows that you do during the summer, and then you've kind of got more of the classical that you do, St. Mary's Church is
That's
part
right.
of the program.
Uh-huh. We have four of those this summer, and then we have 13 main stage shows starting June 30th all the way to August 11th. So a different Friday, Saturday show, everything from bluegrass to pops. So it'll be amazing.
Yeah. And then Kristen Chenoweth, as we had reported, had to cancel due to some injury. You've replaced her with whom?
Sutton Foster. who was actually here in December with the Mormon Tabernacle doing that Christmas show that they always do every other year. So she's a huge crowd draw, and we're excited to have her.
Yeah. Did you see people just kind of keep their tickets, though?
There were some returns, but I think there were people buying because they were excited to see her specifically. So, I mean, you have kind of the whole basket.
Okay. And then in terms of the piano program, are we going to see more than four locations eventually?
We hope so. This is a pilot project for us. And I think there's a lot of opportunity with, you know, not only the Utah Symphony, Utah Opera, but perhaps other performers as well. So we want to activate these pianos and energize them, make the community really aware of this program. And hopefully we actually are looking to add two new pianos this upcoming year. And so we've cultivated some piano donations and are working. We actually have a call for artists out for artists who decorate the pianos. So if you want to learn about that call, you can go to pcscarts.org and learn more about it. And if you're an artist, we encourage you to apply and become involved.
Yeah. There used to be one at Miners Hospital. Did that get moved?
You know, I'm not sure. So there are two, because there's a Park City Public Art Advisory Board and a Summit County. So anything beyond the White Barn is under the jurisdiction of the Summit County Public Art Advisory Board. So the art pianos for all program is kind of split in half. There's, you know, half the team is working on out in the county, half the team is working here in Park City. So I'm not exactly sure. The only problem is sometimes these are outside, they're donated pianos, so they deteriorate a little bit more quickly than something that might be housed inside. So if it's really disrepair, Mark or the board will decommission it or repair it.
All right. And again, if somebody has a piano to donate, you take it if it's in good condition?
Yeah, absolutely. You can always contact Mark Maziarz. And, you know, to find out more info about Art Pianos for All, they have a Facebook page. If you just go to the search bar in Facebook and put in Art Pianos for All, you can learn more about it. And Mark is constantly looking for piano donations because, you know, we have tons of artists in town looking to create. And, you know, it's always fun to add a new piano to the collection. So we want to make sure that we keep the momentum after these performances and continue to do more fun things with, you know, maybe Utah Symphony, Utah Opera. We'll see.
Okay. Again, so it's Wednesday at the Kimball Junction Transit Center, Thursday at the County Library Kimball Junction branch, and then next Tuesday, Colville, lunchtime.
Yes, and it's, again, free, open to the public. It will be standing room only, so people are welcome to bring their own chair or, in the Colville scenario, bring a picnic blanket. But there'll be 30-minute performances, really quick. And I think, you know, having opera in a public scene like this, where opera can be a little less accessible normally, will be a really fun contrast and an exciting opportunity for the community. So we're super excited.
Okay. Anything else you wanted to add?
No, we just want everyone to come and enjoy, and it's our way of saying thank you for having the Deer Valley Music Festival up here.
Okay. Hey, Jocelyn and Renee, thanks for your time.
Thanks, you.
Thanks, Leslie.
And joining me now in the studio from Basin Rec, I have District Director Brian Hatton with kind of a look ahead at some of the ongoing projects and upcoming events. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, let's talk about this Saturday. You've got the summer fun run?
Yes. Yep. This Saturday is a fun day for us. We have our start of summer fun run. It's a color run. So at Willow Creek Park, it starts at 9. Come on out, and we have different chalk stations where as you run through, we have staff that will throw chalk at you. So if you don't have to have it thrown at you if you don't want to. There's a sign you can give, but it's kind of a fun event. Bring the kids and just come out, and it's like there's a 1 mile run, a little sprint for the younger kids, and a 5K.
Is this what we see like at the temples, Buddhist temples, where the really bright colors?
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. It's if you look on our website, a lot of our pictures show what you might look like when you're done. Some of our past years are on there, so it's really a fun event.
Okay, again, this is kicking off 9 a.m. on Saturday at Willow Creek Park, and then later that night at Trailside Park, you've got the camp out.
Yeah, we have a camp out with the movie in the park. With the camp out, it's the National Backyard Campout, so we kind of tied into that a few years ago, and it's a fun event. We've had as many as probably 40 tents out there on the upper soccer field at Trailside. So for those that don't get the opportunity to camp much, it's a good chance to get out and give it a shot if you've never done it. And then there's also the movie that night, which will start at dusk, and that's free. The camp out, there is a site fee of $10, but the movie is free, and anyone's welcome to come out to watch that. They can bring their lawn chairs. Might want to bring a blanket. Sometimes it gets a little chilly in the evenings, knowing that the movie will probably start at dusk, which is around 9:30-ish or so. So you'll end around 11, 11:30. So just plan on dressing warm, bring your snacks. You can come out and enjoy a fun evening.
All right. And is the are there campsites still available?
There are. Yep, there definitely are.
Just register online? Is that what you're doing?
Register. You know, you can either call us at 649-1564, extension 10, and Suzanne will send you to the right person, and or check online, too. I'm not positive on how that registration is taking place.
Okay. And you've got your kids' summer camp in full swing. Did you see what Park City saw, just in terms of just the numbers, kind of? Did you sell out like Park City did?
I mean, our numbers definitely are big. We have this first week. Our camps are set up more by weeks, and it is all summer long. Kids can sign up for every week of the summer, but we kind of break it up a little bit differently. Our numbers, I want to say we had about 40 kids in our summer blast program. We had a soccer camp going on. We had a bike camp going on. So I think this past week we only had three. This upcoming week we have like five. So there's some soccer camps and basketball camps and younger kid camps. So we offer a bunch of different week-long camps where you have some different options to choose from if you do that. But Numbers are up.
Great. And then, again, still registration available?
Yes. Yeah. Yep. Some camps are full. A lot of our travel camps fill up pretty quickly. But the other camps, there is some room.
All right. Talk to me a little bit about the reroute of a trail there at the Utah Olympic Park.
Right. We had to reroute Iron Bill, which is part, as you cross the road from the RTS trail, just below the Olympic Park. They are putting in some athlete housing. So we had to change that road, and luckily we had the National Trails Day. So a lot of the volunteers helped us make that reroute. So right now it's a temporary reroute with kind of playing out to see what the parking lots are going to look like from the Olympic Park. They might still make some changes, but right now, just so if you go up there, if you're used to riding the same route for Iron Bill, it's changed a little bit, but it'll still get you to where you need to go.
Okay, and that's permanent now because of the housing, or
yeah,
does it go back to
It won't go back. Mm-hmm. It might change again if they expand parking lots, but right now it'll hopefully this is the end spot, but it might change again.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about Toll Canyon. Do you have an update there?
We're still moving ahead with that trail. We are waiting until after July 1st was dealing with the birthing periods of a lot of the animals up there. We're trying to be sensitive of that. Our hope is to have the contractor in, my guess is late August, beginning September, and to be done by the beginning mid-August, or October, sorry.
So we have the historic Toll Canyon Trail. Where is this one going?
This one connects from the road to Waz. That's up in Summit Park. And so that one will tie back. I don't know the right name of the road, but it just kind of along the homes on the outer edge of Summit Park and Toll Canyon. And it'll connect to there's a two-track service road across the middle of Toll Canyon right now. And with hopes that we'll connect that all the way down when in the discovery parcel, we are supposed to be slated a trailhead. So our plan is to connect that to that trailhead with alleviating some of the traffic up in that Summit Park neighborhood from our trail users.
Okay. And then where does the trailhead get built?
In the discovery behind the Wallaman School, there's that discovery development. In the second phase, we were deeded, I think, an acre to put a parking structure, not structure, but parking there with some restrooms. We're going to make some picnic-type facilities there just so people can enjoy the time there as well, using some of the natural features that are there. There's some big trees that we're going to save and incorporate that into the parking lot there.
All right. And then real quick, in terms of the safe crossing on 224, we still don't even have a location on this, right?
That's correct. They're still with the county's active transportation plan they're working on. I mean, they're working on some, I think it's rapid bus transit. They're trying to find out some alternative ways to get people in and out of town. And they're looking at, there could be some changes to that road with 224. And so they're trying to play that into the equation as well. And hopefully by the end of the year, they'll have that portion done with having a good idea of where that crossing would potentially go.
Yeah, and I guess eventually there's probably going to be more than one anyway, right? It's just which one do we build first?
It's very possible. Knowing the expansion of the Lower Village at Canyons, it's hard to say, I mean, how many people are actually going to be there, and that might be the most popular spot. And we know Park West Village, there's a big crossing there into the canyon. So, I mean, we want to make a safe passage for everybody. So there might be two. We'll see as the development builds out, we will have to play that one out.
Okay. Anything else you want to mention?
No, just come out on Saturday if you want to have some fun or for the fun run, or come see the movie in the evening.
Okay. Hey, Brian, thanks for coming in.